man. And Michelle, she looks so young and innocent just sitting there, you know. And all those kids all around her. Hey, how many of you today are ready to turn things around in your life? All right, I know I am. Now, some of you are so comfortable, you're sitting there. Those chairs are awesome, aren't they? The only thing they're missing is that thing that comes out on the bottom, you know. We don't got those yet, but maybe someday we will. Would you do me a favor? I know it's kind of tight, you got your stuff out, but would you put it aside and stand up on your feet? How many know this is a turnaround time? Okay, are you ready? Okay, if you believe it's a turnaround time, then just turn around. Come on, one time. How many believe for more than one turnaround? I don't know about you, but I believe for two of them, maybe even three of them. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, look at two or three people and say, it's turnaround time. Hey, yes it is. Now, wait a minute. Before you're seated, we're not going to give everybody a high five. We're going to give them a double high five. And we're going to shout hallelujah. Amen. Come on, look at somebody. Give them a double high five and shout hallelujah. Amen. Amen. You could be seated. Woo. Praise God. Hey, next week I'm excited. 10 o'clock live stream video service begins. And we tried it this morning and it worked. We got that big screen up there. We've got a $20,000 projector right there. You didn't all clap. You thought, man, he spent $20,000 on it. So that's where my tithe money's going, huh? Hey, listen, I just want you to know Big Brother sent it over. Don't tell Lorraine. Don't tell the West, but they donated it for us to use at no cost. It's already paid for. Isn't that good? I love family. See, only family will do that for you. I ain't even told family yet that they did it. But it's a beautiful picture, quality picture. It's a wonderful thing. You're going to love it, absolutely love it. So 10 o'clock, I promise we will preach under that anointing. It'll be powerful. We'll have live worship. And for the first Sunday only, I'm actually going to be live here at 10 o'clock. Say, well, how are you going to be live if you're going to be on the video? You have to come and find that out. Well, I'm not going to be on the video. Leon Timbo is going to be here. And if you've never heard the worshiper, Leon Timbo, you're about to be changed forever. That's next Sunday morning. But I'm going to be live on the platform doing the emceeing and praying and all that stuff while Troy takes care of the West. Look, it's turnaround time. That's what I've got to say. And I don't know about you, but Psalm 30 and verse 11 is still just bubbling in my soul. I can't help it. Look at it. It's up on the scripture. The scripture's on the screen. Could you read it with me? Let's read it. Ready? You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. Okay, just stop right there. Now, I wore gym shoes today. Now, the reason why I wore gym shoes today is because I have to jump and run. And I can't run in my heels. You know what I'm talking about? You know how that is, girls. You can't be like running seriously. You got to whip them things off, don't you? And I feel like I got to overtake, overrun, outstep, outdo the devil today. So I'm dressed ready to run because I believe that God wants to take me to places I've never been before. How about you? Are you ready for it? God wants to take us to another level. Come on, take your hand and say another level. Now hold it right there. Hold that right there. Now, see, that's the level you're on. But the next level, come on, that's where you're going. Woo! I tell you what, it's not church as usual. This is a new day, the new season. And I tell you, there's a new excitement in the air, too. And if you haven't caught it yet, sorry for you. You need to get with it. You know, he said he's going to turn our mourning into dancing. He's going to take off our sackcloth and clothe us with gladness. We're going to be walking around with such exuberating joy and peace and power. We're just going to like, oh my gosh, what is happening in our lives? And this is a turnaround time. Why? Because God is coming to the body of Christ. And he's speaking to us in our language. That's what I love about it. In Mark chapter 7, he took his fingers and put it in the deaf ears man's ears. And he told him a word. He said a word. He said, Ephphatha, Ephphatha. And it was a word that God gave me 3 weeks ago. It was a prophetic word. And he's saying, I want you to be open to what I'm about to do. Because many of us have been closed. We haven't heard and we haven't been able to speak. A tongue has been placed on the top of my mouth. I haven't been able to speak the word of God. Now, I'm just telling you the truth because we haven't been able to speak the word of God. And God said, I want you to Ephatha. Be open and put the word of God in your mouth and begin to declare, thus saith the Lord. Woo, things are changing. You see, God is moving in our lives like never before. And this is a time when you and I can adjust to it and begin to see what God is only He can do. Church, I got to tell you something. I got to tell you, I have never been more excited in my life, in my Christian walk, all the years that I have been saved. I have never been more faith-filled, more enthusiastic, more expectant. I mean, miracles dropping on every side of me. I feel like this is the day of the Lord, God pouring out His grace upon us. I don't know about you, but I just got to lift my hand and say, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. And we found out in the scripture in Mark chapter 7 that John the Baptist, he came last week. We talked about it in Matthew 3, how John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness. That's what God wants us to do. Even if things don't change around us, we keep speaking the word of God. Because we're not moved by what we see. We're not even moved by what we feel. We're only moved by what God has put in our mouth. That spittle that Jesus took off his tongue and put on the tongue of that man that was dumb and couldn't speak, he was declaring to him, I'm transferring something from me into you. I'm going to give you what you haven't been able to do on your own. This is coming from my mouth and it's being placed upon your mouth. He said, I'm going to open up that which you haven't been able to hear. And here's what we've got to do. We got to stay open. Now, I know a lot of you don't like this because when you come to church, you think, I don't know why he always makes me to talk to people I don't know. But just turn to somebody and say, be open. Now, listen, you got to stay open. You can't just get open. You got to stay open because there's nothing worse than being opened and then being closed again. It's worse than just staying closed. So we've got to stay open to the word of the Lord. Let me tell you something. Jesus was open to the voice of his Father. And because he was open, he opened other things for other people. Lazarus was closed up, sealed up, tightened up, wrapped up, bound up in darkness. But Jesus, looking up to heaven, was able to hear from his Father. And because Jesus was open, Lazarus was about to be opened up. And God wants to bring us out of that which has been holding on to us and containing us. And it's time for us to say bye-bye. It's time for us to move from where we have been to where God wants to take us. And this radical man, John the Baptist, wasn't he one crazy Christian? I mean, you know, the Bible talked about him. He came in camel's hair. He wasn't in soft raiment. He wasn't worried about silk and satin. He came in coarse camel hair, right off the back of a stanky old camel. He wasn't worried about it. Why? Because he was raw, he was radical, and he was real. This is the season for that kind of Christianity. Listen, you don't have to pamper me. You don't have to somehow make me feel good. You don't have to talk to me, shake my hand, put my name in a bulletin. You don't even have to acknowledge me because I'm like a man in the wilderness, real, raw, and radical. I want it up front and I want it strong. I don't want it watered down. I don't want it compromised and I don't want it adulterated. I've come too far now to give some kind of a milk toast message. I've got to have it strong. I've got to have it right to the point. And that's exactly the way John the Baptist came. He came real, raw, and radical. And he came wearing a leather belt. I got a new belt on. I'm going to show it to you. You ready? That's all I'm going to show you. That's all I'm going to show you. All right, one more time. Ready? That's all I'm going to show you. I dressed the part this morning. I come ready to outrun the devil, outdo the devil, overstep the devil. I came this morning. I got up this morning. I didn't plan on just making it. I got up this morning to win. I got up this morning to go over to the other side. I got up this morning to be more than a conqueror in everything that comes my way. I didn't come here to concede defeat. I didn't come to church just to pray me a little prayer. I came to see miracles. I came to see breakthrough. I came to see people get saved. I came to see people get on fire for God. I came to see the glory of the Lord descend from heaven. I don't know what you came to see. That's what I came to see. My son said, "Dad, that belt doesn't fit you. That belt doesn't fit your personality." I said, "That's right, because it's the new me. I'm wearing something I never wore before. You want to see it?" Yeah. I put something on that they said, "Pastor, you wearing that?" All right, you really want to see it, don't you? All right. My son said, "Daddy, that looks like a girl's belt." I said, "I don't care what it looks like. It's something different I ain't never wore before. I'm about to put something on that speaks of sacrifice." I didn't get up this morning looking for something. I got up this morning to give something away. I live a life of sacrifice. I'm a sower. I know that I'm going to reap. I'm looking for an opportunity to put some seed down somewhere. I'm looking for an opportunity to give something away, because I know when I cast my bread upon the water, not many days. Come on, say it with me. Not many days. Say it again. Not many days. It's going to come back wave after wave after wave after wave, because God wants to bless his people. Then this old crazy radical John came eating locusts. I could just see him now, big old grasshopper trying to get away, legs just flying everywhere. He took that thing. He thought it was Ozzy, whatever it is. What is it, Ozzy? Ozzy Osbourne. Bit the head of that thing off. He was eating that locust. You know what he was saying? He was speaking to a generation. There is a remnant being raised up in this last hour that is not only going to come radical, real, and raw, not only going to come girded about with an attitude of sacrifice, but going to come devouring the very things that used to devour you. Because in Joel chapter 2, Israel was devoured by the locust and the swarming locust and the gathering locust. But this time, John, the radical remnant, comes up out of nowhere and begins to declare, God is giving us authority to be able to consume and devour the very thing that used to consume and devour you. Listen to me. Low self-esteem, devour it. Depression, devour it. Rejection, devour it. It doesn't matter. That carnal appetite, devour it. The thing that used to defeat you, you're about to defeat it. Come on, lift your hand up and shout hallelujah. No, you're not shouting good enough. I said shout hallelujah. You see, he turned my morning into dancing. I can't help myself. You say, "Why are you jumping around? You're too old for that. You're too dignified for that. You're going to hurt yourself." No, no, no. I'm going to help myself. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I just have to help myself. God's been too good to me. God is too real to me. God has been too powerful for me. I can't help myself. Hey, shout hallelujah. Okay, okay, you can sit down because I'm just getting started. See, something's happening even now as we sit here, even as we worship. You can't come into this atmosphere of the new, raw, real, and the radical, and those that wearing leather belts about their waists. And you can't come into the atmosphere of people that are devouring stuff that used to devour them. Keep them up all night. Put them in tears. Begin to control them. Throw them in depression. Cause them to be insignificant and feel like they're worthless. No, 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 no. I'm about to devour that. There is a turnaround. Everybody say turnaround. There is a healing virtue that's being released in this place. Somebody whose hand that couldn't open was now open during worship. Where is that? Where is that woman that was just there? Who was that? Where is she? There she is. Come on, come on. Just tell me quickly. What happened?
For the last 7 years since the birth of my son, I could not close my fist. While I was worshiping, I made a fist. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. Even in an exercise class, I was doing kickboxing. And I looked at my hand and said, I still can't close it. And I forgot about it. And today in worship, it was like the Lord told me, it's healed.
Ephatha.
Praise God.
Ephatha. 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 Be open. Ephatha. Be open. You know, I'm reading the Bible this week, and it's a crazy thing to do. Be careful. Don't read the Bible. It'll mess you up. If you want to stay the same, if you want to continue to be dominated, if you want to continue to live a marginal life, if you want to continue just to float with everybody else, if you want to compromise, be an adulterating the Word of God, if you want to milk it down, just stay away from the Bible. But if you're tired of the way things have been, and you want to see a change, get in the Word. You get in the Word, and you're going to get messed up. I got messed up this week. I started reading Matthew chapter 24. And the Pharisees came to him in Luke chapter 17. Put the scripture up if you will. And they wanted to know, Lord, when is the kingdom coming? When is the kingdom coming? And Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be also in the days of the Son of Man. And then he goes on to tell them what they're going to be doing during those days. Watch this, church. They ate, they drank, they married, wives, they're given in marriage. Until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Now, I read that and I said, God, that's what the unbelievers are going to be doing. I want to know what us believers are going to be doing. But Jesus didn't say. Jesus didn't say what we're going to be doing. I said, Holy Spirit, why didn't you tell us what we're going to be doing? He said, back up. Look at it again. So I looked at it again in verse 27. Can you back it up? They ate, they drank, they married. Go back to verse 26. I know what the unbelievers are going to be doing. I want to know what the believers are going to be doing. There it is. And as it was in the days of Noah. Now I know what the believers are going to be doing. Come on, lift one hand up. Shout. I'm not a doubter. I'm a believer. What are the believers going to be doing? They're going to be preparing. But go on down in the scripture. He said, and also as it was in the days of Lot. As it was in the days of Lot. Then he talks about what the unbelievers are going to be doing. But I said, God, what are the believers going to be doing? And the Holy Ghost spoke to me and he said, if Noah was a sign of the believers preparing, Lot is a sign of the believers separating. Let me just tell you something. John didn't fit. John the Baptist didn't fit into the Pharisaical mindset. He didn't look like him. He didn't talk like him. And he didn't act like him. He didn't fit in your average normal church. He was real, raw, and radical. And Lot was separated from everything that was expected. Lot was ready to separate from the very thing that had been controlling him. But let's go back to Noah for a minute, because I want to talk about it just for a couple of minutes in preparation, because this is what God said. In Genesis 5 and 32, Noah was 500 years old when he had three babies. Lord. You know, we get close to our 40s. It's like, hurry up, God. If I have to have a baby now, we're in big trouble. He was 500. And he had three boys. But I want you to see something in Genesis chapter 7. Because in Genesis chapter 5, at 500 years of age, God speaks to him and tells him to prepare. And then in Genesis chapter 7, Noah's how old? That means 100 years have gone by. And the floodwaters came on the earth. So Noah, a type of preparation, was given 100 years to get ready. It's a season. That's why when we spoke last week about Ephrathah, we said there is new doors, new opportunities, new seasons that God has given you and me through a new personality and a new ministry that you and I are beginning to walk in that looks like John. And God's saying, I want you to take that attitude and I want you to begin to prepare for what I'm about to do on the earth. And I want you to separate yourself from that which has become commonplace, which has become acceptable, which has become the normal for Christianity. Now you say, how do you know that, Pastor? Because in Mark chapter 7, Jesus said, what did you come out looking for? A man in soft raiment? The word soft in the Greek is malakas, and it simply means this, a perversion of original intent. Jesus asked them, what did you come looking for? Did you come looking for the perverted Christian message of the postmodern era? Did you come looking for coffee and donuts? Did you come looking for a drive-through church? Did you come looking for a compromised word that's comfortable to you and your family? Did you come to that adulterated scripture that's maligned and twisted to make everybody feel good? What did you come to see? He said it was a perversion. He said John was not a perverted message. That's why I know today the message God's raising up and the remnant that he's bringing to the surface is a people that are in the middle of their wilderness and don't need to see anything change, because it's not about what they see. It's about who they are. Now, I want you to go back to Luke 17, because I believe it's in verse 20. Jesus says this, the kingdom of God doesn't come with observation. And too many believers are looking for external, outside evidence that God is here. Listen, God heals, God moves, God miraculously changes a city. But listen, you can't keep running to Toronto. You can't keep going to Pensacola. You can't keep going to some foreign land where somebody has said, hey, God's moving here. Hey, God's moving there. And all we do is get on planes and fly around trying to find God and trying to find the kingdom of God. And we say, well, this ministry's got it and that ministry's got it. When Jesus already said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation. For the kingdom of God is within you. This is all about you. It's all about me. God's doing something in us. Isn't that powerful? God's doing something in us. See, I know God's kingdom is coming because he's changing me. God's kingdom is coming because he's changing you. You're easier to love now. You're not as ornery as you used to be. People like hanging out with you now. God's changing you. Huh? As a husband, like, your wife's fallen in love with you again. She can't keep her hands off of you. You're changing. Your wife, she's changing. Your church, your preacher, your deacon, your elders. The way things have been is changing. Shout with me, it's changing. Shout, I'm changing. You and I have got to understand that the way things have been is over. How do I know that? Go to Genesis chapter 6. And God spoke to Noah. And he said this. It's verse 13. Read it with me. Then God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me. I just want to stop there because I'm so glad that the fleshy church has come to an end. I don't need to impress you. You don't need to impress me. You don't have to drive up in anything fancy or wear anything that's cool. I'm just telling you right now, I cut through all that. I look into your spirit and I see when my spirit bears witness with your spirit. You can come in sackcloth and it doesn't matter to me. I recognize anointing when I feel it and when I see it. I don't have to have bling bling to show you that I'm in covenant with God. I walk in the power of the anointing of the Holy Ghost, and when I walk into a room, I'm a world changer. Come on, church. Shout, church is changing. Look at somebody and say, church is changing. There's a new wave coming on the earth, and you're part of it. I'm part of it. It's a new wave. No, 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 it's not a wave. It's a tsunami. It's a tsunami. Yes, it is. It's a tsunami. And I saw it in my spirit when I looked at the coast of Japan. And minutes before the tsunami hit, things were normal. Things looked usual. And after the tsunami, everything was blown away, washed away. The whole landscape was changed. Everything was moved by this wave that was coming upon the earth, unsuspecting. Let me tell you, God is raising up a remnant like a tsunami that's about to wash away all the compromise and wash away all the carnality and wash away all the churches, normal and usual, and all the religiosity. God's about to wash it away. No. I feel sorry for them. I feel sorry for them. They've spent a lot of money on their giveaway trinkets, you know. If you just call and just send your very best gift, I'll send you some of this little trinkets and it'll bless you. Wash away. Wash away. Now, I don't need to give you $1,000 to be anointed. I woke up anointed this morning. No, you got to understand something. Wash away. Everybody just say, wash away. Yeah, you got to wash away all that Christian marketing and Christianese and just wash it away. Churches that are bickering about what color the paint on the wall is. Thank God we got a wall. And hallelujah, if we got paint, wash it away. It doesn't matter to us. What's important to us is the souls of men and women and the kingdom of God that has come to the earth. Come on, shout hallelujah. Now, I know it's Sunday morning and I'm trying to contain myself. But I wore my running shoes for a reason. I put on my leather belt for purpose. I woke up this morning and I told my wife, I said, I just want you to know I feel spunky today. I said, no, I don't feel spunky. I feel frisky. She looked at me and took one step back. She said, it's time for church. I said, I know. I said, I know, but I'm feeling it. Oh, no, not that. I'm feeling this. This. Everybody say, this is that. Oh, no, you missed it. This is that. That's what I'm feeling. I'm feeling that. What the Joel prophet began to prophesy. In my last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. I'm beginning to feel it. I'm beginning to sense it. I'm beginning to house it. I can't help it. It's just who I am. It's just the way I am. I'll come back to normal in a few minutes. After I'm done preaching. But right now, I'm just a little bit of out of my mind. That's kind of the way it is. But look at the next scripture, because he tells Noah to do something odd. Build an ark. Or make for me an ark. And make rooms in the ark. Make rooms in the ark. In other words, increase your capacity for what I want to do. God can't pour it out unless there's some place for it to be poured. And so I got to increase my capacity for God. Make rooms. And then he said this, and cover it. Everybody say cover it.
Cover it.
Say inside.
Outside.
You put your right foot in, you put your right foot out. Got it inside, outside. Say, that ain't in the Bible. I know. Work with me. Two Hebrew words, inside and outside. God specifically spoke them to Noah. That is a type of preparation of those that are likened onto the personality of John the Baptist. He said, put pitch on the inside and on the outside. Watch. Inside, in the Hebrew, means this. Kephar. It means to pitch within, to cleanse, to purge, and to reconcile. And the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, the time of preparation is simply this. Take your soul, and I want you to purge it. I want you to reconcile it with me. I want you to cleanse it. This is a time of cleansing, purging, and reconciling of your soul, because that's on the inside. But then he said, on the outside, another Hebrew word, it's not kephar, but it's kofar. And it means this, to cover, coat, a redemptive price. So when he was said, pitch on the inside, pitch on the outside, he's saying you need to be covered in your soul from anything that's been causing impurity, anything that's not clean, anything that you have in you that needs to get out of you. I want you to pitch it. And then he said, I want you to put it on the outside. In other words, I want you to begin to be covered in the blood. We took communion this morning and we said, oh, the blood of Jesus Christ. In other words, walk in your covenant. When you get up in the morning, walk in your covenant. When you walk out throughout the day, walk in your covenant. When you lie down in bed at night, lift up a hand and say, thank you, Jesus, for the covenant of God that I am under today. You see, this is a time of preparation. But then it's a time of separation because he speaks to Lot. Now we know what the unbeliever is going to do, but I just want to know what the believer is doing. So we read that scripture hundreds of times and we think, okay, that's what the unbelievers are going to be doing. They're going to be marrying, they're going to be eating, they're going to be drinking, they're going to be going to parties, they're going to be graduations, they're going to go on vacation, they're going to be buying houses. What are the believers going to do? And we pass right over it, but not the remnant. The remnant gets it. And we prepared. Secondly, we see that now Lot, go back to Genesis. And you see Genesis come alive in verse 14 of Genesis 19. Where simply we read the scripture that is so cool. Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-law who had married his daughters and said, get up! Get out of this place. For the Lord will destroy the city. But to his sons-in-law, he seemed to be joking. Look at somebody and say, this is not a joke. In verse 29, the angel of the Lord comes to Lot again. He said, get out of the midst of the overthrow. And can I tell you, there's an overthrow coming to the earth. There's an overthrow of soft church. There's an overthrow of carnal Christianity. There's an overthrow of self-serving religion. Get out. Get out while you can. Somebody said it this way. Get out while the getting's good. This is a good time to get out. This is a good time this morning on this day, 3rd of April, 4th month of the year of our Lord of 2011, to get out, to make a decision to say, I am moving and separating from what I used to feel comfortable in. Oh, but let me just say this. When you make that choice, you're going to be laughed at. People are going to think you're joking. You're too radical. You're too real. You're too raw. You're too sacrificial. And yuck, those locusts you're eating disgust me. See, you don't know. You don't know what it's like when the doctor said, unless you've been there, that you got cancer and you have tumors in your breast. And now you got to go take chemotherapy and radiation, and you lose 80 pounds, and you lose all your hair, and your eyes begin to sink in your skull, and family begins to talk to you like you're about dead, and you're still alive. And those that are supposed to be believers are coming around to you, telling you to get ready and prepare for the grave. But there's something inside of you that's too real, too raw, and too radical to quit now. There's something inside of you that says, no, there's too great of a sacrifice that was paid for me, for by his stripes I have been healed. There's something inside of you that says, no matter how gaunt I look, no matter how weak I become, no matter how bleak the testimony is, no matter how negative the report of the doctor is, there's something inside of me that says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. There's something inside of me that says I got to take the very thing that's trying to devour me, and I've got to devour it. I got to take that which is consuming me, and I've got to consume it. It won't let me go. And then to stand in church. Oh, Judy walked in the door this morning for church. I was at the door greeting people. Happy Sunday, Judy. I said, can I touch your hair? Long, flowing, thicker than it ever has been. Beautiful, blonde, brown. Doesn't even have to put a bottle on it. Perfect, came out the way she'd always liked it. After the battle. I said, can I touch your hair? She said, go ahead. I said, whoo, glory to God, that's real hair. And she said, we serve a real God. I said, ain't it good? He's real, radical, and raw. And he paid the ultimate sacrifice that we can conquer what used to conquer us. And she walked away and looked over her shoulder and flipped that hair. She said, yay, Pastor, happy Sunday. I said, happy Sunday, Judy. David walked in the door. David had been in the hospital. David didn't know what was wrong with him. Cleveland Clinic couldn't figure it out. They couldn't figure it out. You think as much as they charge, they ought to figure something out. Internal bleeding, internal tumors, internal problems. They didn't know, blockage, whatever. David, he'd already lost about 30 pounds. He came walking through the door. I said, I always call him King David. I don't know why. I just say, King David. I said, King David, have you been fighting the devil? He said, no, Pastor, I'm way beyond that. He's already defeated. I said, oh, let me see your belt, boy. I got a feeling you're wearing leather. What you got in your hand? Oh my gosh, that's disgusting. You're eating the very thing that used to consume you. Come on in. You're in the right house. You're in the right place. We're just a bunch of those people who want it real, radical, and raw. And we believe that God is able. Shout hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know about you. This just astounds me. In the Bible, there's this verse in Luke 17, verse 32. Just three words. Remember Lot's wife. I'm thinking, can't you even give the woman a name? Now, some of you know my good friend Greg Ball. I love him with all my heart. But he calls Bobby wife. And for years, he'd always say around us, come on, wife, it's time to go. I said, she got a name, man. You know, it's weird about him calling her wife, but it was even more weird her answering. I think he got it out of Luke 17, verse 32. And Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. Okay, pillar, salt, and all that, yeah, got it. But then I remembered a scripture in Hebrews. Do you know what I'm talking about in chapter 12, verse 2? It's a really good scripture. Would you like to read it with me? Let's read it. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Just stop right there. looking on to Jesus. Now, what happened to Lot's wife? She didn't look onto Jesus. Where did she look? Back. She looked back. So we have an option. You either look up or you look back. That's really the option. And I don't know what's tantalizing, tempting. What's drawing on you this morning to look back. But the Holy Spirit is here telling us to look up. Now I just want you to say something to somebody. Here we go again. He's going to make me talk to somebody. Tell them, say, you looking real good. Now I'm not talking about your physical appearance. Because some of you don't look that good. Some of you are struggling. You're walking by faith this morning. And I'm with you, honey. Help me. Get me out of this. Help me. It's too late now, isn't it?
Too late. It's too late. It's too late.
When you got the look, you could tell people that got the look. They're like this all the time. See, you looking good means you're looking up. If you're looking bad, you're looking back. So just appease me. I've done this a number of times. Look over your right shoulder, as far back as you can look. Okay, now back up the front. Now back over your left shoulder, as far as you can look. Now back at me. Now, that's the last time you ever look back. Never again. Never again. Right? We're going up here. See, you've got to look when you look up. But the look back is a real deal. And I'm going to close with this. My good friend Abraham. God came to Sarah and said, I had it with you looking back. You better look up here, boy. See, it was Sarah's fault anyway. She introduced him. I want a baby. Go in there with my handmaiden and give me a baby. Abraham said, oh, well, if you believe it's God's will. And so we read in Genesis 21, verse 8, that Abraham got tied to something that he got introduced to. And she told him in verse 10, you need to cast this bondwoman out and her son. And it says in verse 11, Abraham was very displeased because of his son. This wasn't an easy thing for Abraham to do. That was his boy. Ishmael was his son. And he was tied solely to his son. And it's what made Abraham look back. And God said, Abraham, come out of your tent and look up. You see all the stars up there, son? You're going to have more descendants than all the stars you can count. Look up. And Abraham wanted to look back. What about Ishmael? He finally had to send Ishmael out. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, tell my church, whatever is making you look back, you've got to send it out this morning. That pillar of salt thing has always bothered me. And there's much more astute and profound preachers than me that have preached on it. But in becoming a pillar of salt, it paralyzed her movement. And she became of no impact or effect because she looked back. When armies conquered other nations, they would plow salt into the ground to prevent production and growth. And Lot's wife, because she couldn't let go, looked back and couldn't look up, and it paralyzed her. An unproductive Christian life, and unable to move forward. Let me warn you though, if you make this choice tonight, you're going to be mocked. You're going to be ridiculed. People are going to be thinking you're joking, and they're going to laugh at you because you're just too radical, real, and raw. But I want to introduce you tonight, today, to a remnant on the earth that has never been seen before. I believe that with all my heart. When John came crying in the wilderness, it was 430 years of silence. And I said, God, I refuse to keep pastoring looking back. I've got to look up. I've got to move forward. I can't stay paralyzed like a pillar of salt. And I don't know what's keeping you from moving and looking up, but in Jesus' name, I command that thing now to be broken in your life. Every soul tie, every ungodly soul tie that talks to you, that lures you, that begins to seduce you, I bind its works and effects in the mighty name of Jesus. And I say, be broken now, never to return. Come out from among them and be separate. You see, Peter tells us, and I'm trying to hurry. Peter tells us that Lot, while he was in the place of overthrow, his righteous soul was tormented every day. That's what Peter says. And some of you have been living like that. You want to serve God, then you serve the world. You make a step for God, you make two for the devil. Just when you get your breakthrough, you break down. God, I'm tormented. And God said, let me tell them, get out from where you've been living. That's the place of overthrow. If you'll just look up and stop looking back, you'll never be tormented another day of your life. We sang the song, when peace like a river attendeth my way. Do you know that song? Sing it again. When peace like a river attendeth my way. Listen, you know how that was written? You know where that was written? On the bow of a ship, as he looked beyond and saw his home family perishing in a storm. He said, it is well with my soul. He was a righteous remnant that God has demonstrated and distributed throughout the history of mankind to say, that's my church. Yeah. That's my righteous ones. And in this last day, they're going to come out in mass. And they're going to overtake like a tsunami the modern church world. Signs and wonders and miracles will happen as common as gold was in the days of Solomon. For it is well. Come on, sing it. It is well. It is well. Come on, is it well?
It is well.
When peace, like a river, floods o'er my soul. Devil, you don't know who I am, do you? Let me just show you. I showed my belly. Whoops. My wife said, put your shirt down. You showed your belly. You haven't seen me yet, devil, but you're about to. You haven't known this old boy like you're about to. No, you haven't seen me praise. No, you haven't seen me pray. You haven't seen me cry out yet. No, you haven't seen me sacrifice, but you're about to. You haven't seen the church like you're about to see, who's so real and raw and radical, they're about to take over like a storm. Today, I want to pray for you. Whatever's been calling you, drawing you to look back, whatever it is, let's believe God. Come on, everybody, stand up. Everybody, stand up. Oh, yes, Jesus. Come on, he's calling you. He's making a way. He's opening new doors. He's giving new opportunities. And he's creating new seasons. Come on, lift your hands and say, I'm ready, Jesus. Yeah, I'm ready, Jesus. If you're here this morning and you say, preacher, pray for me. I'm ready to come out of the place of overthrow. I'm ready to come and to separate. I'm ready, I'm ready, I'm ready. I'm ready to prepare like I've never done before. Oh, then here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I don't know how much room we've got, but it doesn't matter. There's something about moving to the altar. Let me tell you about the altar. The altar is a place God meets his people. The altar is where fire falls and sacrifice ascends. An altar is where we establish covenant in marriage. An altar is where we commit a soul to the ground. An altar is where people covenant with God in their salvation. There's something about the altar. Call me old-fashioned if you want to. But there's something here that's just not there. And if you need Christ this morning and you're ready to move forward in him, then get out from where you're standing and would you join me around this place of God's meeting. Come now. This is your time. This is your time. Come on. This is your season. This is your moment. Go ahead. Come on. Don't you be shy. Don't you be shy. Come on. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. And we're waiting on you. Come on. Come on, sing freedom. said, if you're tired and weary of the way your life has been, come on.
If you're tired and weary,
there's freedom.
There is freedom.
Now, look over at somebody and gently take them by the hand and say, if you need that prayer, let's go, because this ain't no joke. Come on, tell them, and then just walk with them. Just walk with them. Just walk with them. Sometimes you got to be taken by the hand. Lot had to be taken by the hand and just walk with them. Huh? Yeah. Come on. Come on. That's right. Come on. That's right. Come on. Yeah, they're coming. Take them by the hand. Come on. Sometimes you got to be taken by the hand. You got to be led out. It's all right. Altar ministers, I'd like for you to do this, please. Every man find a man, every woman find a woman, and get behind them and let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Every man find a man, every woman find a woman. If you can, please, everybody have somebody behind them. Thank you, Jesus. Would you reach a hand out to them lovingly? Let's believe God for them right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, that these are your remnant people. These are those, oh God, who have been tormented. These are those that have been looking back, but they're looking up. They are, Father, part of the remnant of the house of God in this last hour, and will never be the same. We bless them. We speak life over them, and we say, God, every stronghold broken, every solical tie broken and defeated at the cross of Jesus, at the blood of Christ, that they will be reconciled, purged, and cleansed on the inside, and they will walk, oh God, in recognition of the blood and the covenant on the outside. That they will increase their capacity for God, and you, Lord, will pour out your Spirit upon them. We ask this in Jesus' name. While they're being prayed for, we want to say, God bless you and bless your family. I want you to know that if we never assemble here again another Sunday, Tina and I, until that great day of the Lord when He calls us up into heaven, we'll be right here standing in faith for your miracle and believing for your breakthrough. We want to believe together with you that this is only the beginning. And what you're about to experience, you won't even be able to find words to describe. So let Jesus be real big in your lives. Amen. And don't forget this. Live right, love everybody, and pray hard. We'll see you Wednesday night. God bless you. We love you. Come on, we're praying for these up at the front. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah.